live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Joined, as always, by my main guy, Jonathan Birdsong. He'll be joined here momentarily. We are live in living color. Facebook live stream, Blog Talk Radio. Big show tonight, the eve of the main event getting on tomorrow night with the NCAA tournament. So we're looking forward to that. I know JB's going to have some things to say about that tonight, so we're going to have him on momentarily. But we've got Pacers talk, we've got the NBA Association, we've got college basketball, more college basketball news. Not only what myself and Jonathan talked about the other day, but then also and Nick Peterson, but then also going to talk some NFL news and notes. It was an interesting week in the NFL, needless to say, especially with my Steelers and everything that's kind of happened and transpired with that. So we've got plenty to talk about regarding that nature as well. So we'll get that all going and more tonight live on the show. We want to thank our sponsors. Top of the show, we want to thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Without those two, we would not be able to do what we do. And we're looking forward to many, many more years. And in fact, this is season seven. Season seven, Crossroads Sports. Our birthday was this past Monday, 2 days ago. So, we are six down. We're on year seven, season seven, episode number 293 tonight. Can't get it going without my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Doing just fine, man. Happy birthday, Crossroads Sports, man. I'm proud to be associated with the brand. I'm proud to talk, you know what I'm saying, sports with Brandon Reif, you know what I'm saying, every Wednesday or Tuesday night. You know what I'm saying? We've been rocking and rolling. You've seen us on the sidelines, either at the Purdue University. You've seen us on the sidelines, either at Hoosier, downtown. You know what I'm saying? Watching the Hoosiers, the watching Ball State, crack them up. You've seen us, you know what I'm saying, cover Ball State golf and, you know what I'm saying, and pretty much all sports. I don't want to leave nobody out, but, you know, those are just some of, like, you know what I'm saying, friends of the program, highlights that, you know what I'm saying, that I like to, you know, kind of talk about. And like I said, it's great to be, you know what I'm saying, part of the show. Happy birthday, Crossroads Course. Seven years. Here's to another seven. How about that? But, Brandon, I know we got plenty to talk about. And before I go any further, man, I know we got I got a little surprise. So, like, Jordan Heidelberg from the Indy Lions, you know what I'm saying? It's basketball country. You know this, Indiana's basketball country. And, you know what I'm saying, in this time of March, you know what I'm saying, not only do we got NIT and Final Four and March Madness, we also got the ABA is in the playoffs. So, at 8 o'clock, Jordan Heidelberg from the Indiana Lions is going to call in. You know what I'm saying? Just check in with us, kind of tell us about. They're in the playoffs. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna check in with us, and we're gonna talk a little bit of Indy Lions as well tonight. So, you know, saying, let's get it cracking though. Where you want to start at?
Yeah, let's dive right on in. Let's talk NBA, John. Indiana Pacers. My God, John. Pacers were one win away from getting to the over/under that I need for my bet to hit for wins. So we need one more win to get there. But I want to talk Tyrese Haliburton. And on our Facebook Live page, we've got the stats up, John. Ever since Tyrese has came back from the All-Star game, John, three-point field goal percentages, 4 of 10, 1 of 6, 1 of 8, 3 of 8, 0 for 6, 0 for 6, 3 of 10, 2 of 7, 1 of 6, 2 of 6, 1 of 6, 1 of 9. Something ain't right with our guy. He's not happy out there. I don't know if he's pushing, trying too hard, or what. If it's the defense that's kind of coming back out to him, but something's not looking good, and my man can't hit a boat from like close up with, you know,
right.
Could hit water if he fell out of a boat. I think that was the thing.
And this is the league, you know what I'm saying, where shooting is the emphasis on shooting.
And this city has already crowned this guy.
Yeah. Perhaps it is the pressures of being the franchise player, and perhaps it is some of it. I'm saying some of it could be that the second best player, you know what I'm saying, is out for the season, you know, and kind of things are kind of all on you as well. Look at the story dialogue that we went through with Tyrese Halliburton. You know what I'm saying? We went from he was injured in and out of lineup because they were kind of watching minutes and trying to see if he could get this, you know, $50 million, you know what I'm saying, all the NBA bonus. And, you know, and it kind of took away from where the Pacers were at winning-wise. I think here's the thing, though, Brandon, like here's the parallel. Anytime his particular shot is falling, or not necessarily falling, or there's something going on in his life that's temporarily, you know what I'm saying, not causing, you know what I mean, the temporarily is out of whack, it causes, you know what I'm saying, you know, things on the basketball court. You kind of point to the All-Star break. I don't think we're necessarily at, you know, a DEFCON 3 where we got guys in his ear or anything like that. I think this is clearly a basketball thing. But, like, you know what I'm saying, the distractions. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that our homie, you know what I'm saying, face of the franchise, that though he may be, you know what I'm saying, he's not in that well of depth just yet to handle, you know what I'm saying, distractions.
Yeah. I don't know. The man, there's some shots he took the other night in the game that off balance, just bad shots overall. Wasn't in the flow of the game. I know we're struggling. We don't have Benedict Mathurin in there. That's a focal point there. But we've got a shot here coming up to get a couple big wins that we need. And I'm nervous. Wow, there's a lot of news going on right now. Holy cow. There's a lot of Ohtani news that just came out. Holy cow. We'll have to get to that. But this Pacers squad, John, you look at their schedule, they play at Detroit tonight they play at Detroit. Then they're at the Warriors and at the Lakers. Those were back in the day chalk up for a loss. But not sure. Now these two teams, then you're at the Clippers and at the Bulls. So you got a full 5-game road trip here. Then you come home against the Lakers and then home against Brooklyn at Brooklyn. So you got some time to make. I don't know where they're going to end up in the standings. I think they're going to be a 7 or an 8, honestly, by the head. This is all said and done. Joel Embiid's going to be returning here soon. So they're going to be making a late run with the Sixers. But I feel like we're just kind of collapsing as the season's starting to end, you know, and it's, our star player is probably tired. I think he's got a hangover from the All-Star thing that he hasn't figured it out. And honestly, all three players, I mean, Miles Turner's finally got out of a little bit of a hole, but everybody that was playing in the All-Star for the Pacers-wise, one way or another, has kind of sucked since. I know Miles has had some decent games, but overall, yeah, Pacers 1 game up on Miami for the 8th spot. Philly's actually beating us by half game, and they don't have their all-star Joel Embiid who'll be returning. So it's not looking good. We're up 3.
You definitely should have got that Cleveland game.
Yeah.
From the other night with a depleted Cleveland that doesn't have their best player, and we have an assortment of best players outside of Bennett Mather, and we have an assortment of best players. So I wish D-Cot would call in right now, right? But I kind of go back to, the, you know what I'm saying, you know, the coach is going to blame, you know what I'm saying, what they didn't do on the field or court, and I kind of blame the who wasn't playing or who didn't get a lot of heavy minutes, man. I don't think Jarris Walker got a lot of heavy minutes. I don't think, you know what I'm saying, some of the reserve big men that we kind of, you know what I'm saying, pride ourselves on for having the depth. They didn't get the nod in that Cleveland game, so. They like to experiment and you know what I'm saying, I won't say jack off, that's a horrible word, you know what I'm saying, but they like to experiment and mess around with lineups. But like, we shouldn't be doing this with like 13 more games left in the season. You slid all the way down to 8. last time we talked last week, Brandon, they were fifth. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So that
Carlisle
was
he's tired of having that conversation with the team of, all right, let's get it going. He's tired of having it. We can't be having it with 14 games left.
Yeah, that should be the frustrating part for everybody. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. He went with the best crew that he thought they could win against Cleveland. And I would say during this entire slide, that, you know what I'm saying, you can pick and choose and see who's had a bad game or who had a great game, right? But again, I don't know, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? They got the weathering of this storm kind of goes to the temperament of his star player, and that guy that falls on the head of Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, 100%. John, the dynasty is over. The Jordan and Pippen dynasty is officially over. There's breaking news.
Oh, what happened?
The Jordan and Pippen era is over. Marcus Jordan and Loris Pippen have officially broken up. The dynasty is officially over now. So there's some tabloid news for you from Legion Hoops. So Scotty and Michael can get back together now that they're that train wreck is officially over. My question, John, actually it's not a question. You're not giving enough respect to my guy, and I'm looking him up right now. 1-2-3-1, 4-1-5-1, 7-3, 8-3. So the Clippers, the Bucks, John, are 12-3 since they've acquired Pat Bev as their defensive guy.
You putting it on Pat Bev? It might be because Damon Lillard's playing a little bit better.
Well, I mean, Giannis has been out, and Pat Bev's been guarding their best defender. I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out here now. Pat Bev, if the Pacers played the Bucks still, even with a good Tyrese Halliburton, I think Pat Bev would still shut him down. For sure.
Oh, my goodness. You on this Pat Bev train, I'm going to make sure I send this to him personally.
Please do. Oh, he's active, very active. But, yeah, Pat Bev would shut down Tyrese Halliburton. The reason why the Bucks are soaring is because of Pat Bev. Pat Bev is doing Pat Bev.
That's not why. No,
it is.
Not why, man. No, they've got better rotation, man. Doc Rivers put in a better plan. I told you, you got rid of the clowns, man. The twin brothers gone. The Giannis brothers ain't getting no playing time. Stop that. And Milton's on his way back.
Giannis ain't get playing time.
Well, yeah, that's pretty bad, man. They beat Phoenix. Kevin Durant had 11 points. That was horrible.
You know who guarded him?
That was a horrible time. They're lucky that it was a snub situation going on in the NCAA and nobody was caring about the NBA on Sunday. Otherwise, everybody would kind of pick them, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't believe it. No Giannis. The Bucks had no Giannis, and Phoenix Suns got blowed out.
You got to watch ESPN tonight, 7:30, half hour. We got Bucks and Bucks Celtics. So, that's going to be a good one there. And my boy Pat Bev is going to go out there and do what he does. I mean, the man's played 16 games.
He ain't shutting down no unicorn. He ain't shutting down no unicorn, bro.
Bet. Watch.
Oh,
my man's good, man. He's only scoring 5 points a game. But that defense, we'll see. There's a reason why they're starting him all the time. So, my other question, John, is let me go back to my standings for the NBA. Oklahoma City, the Timberwolves have lost. They're kind of lost 5 of their last 10. Injuries have kind of kept the T-Wolves out of bay. But Oklahoma City and the Thunder and the T-Wolves are all right there. T-Wolves are only one game back, but it's kind of those three for the top seed in the West. For me, John, I'm going to give experience to Denver. It may end up coming out on top, winning the West, or becoming the number one team in the West.
Yeah.
But then you got Clippers and Pelicans, John. Pelicans won 8 out of 10. When Zion wants to play, they're pretty damn good.
They're pretty good, right. I was just telling this to our guest tonight before we kind of came on. When Zion wants to play, puts his head down, man, he could possibly be if he leaves the, you know, the nightlife alone, and you know what I'm talking about, he could be face of the league, man. LeBron James is getting long in the tooth, y'all. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, somebody out there younger. I know there's still going to be the Giannis of the world out there, you know what I'm saying, still hungry and winning. There's still going to be the Jokic of the world still out there hungry and winning. But, like, who's the real next young talent? There's going to be that next one that takes up the face. Could it be Anthony Edwards? You know what I'm saying? We know he has a dunk of the night on somebody, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'll say, or he makes an impact on something. But, like, I'll say Zion Williamson does too. Zion Williamson, when he wants to play, there's nothing you can do. He gets steals. He gets rebounds. You know what I'm saying? It's highlight dunks. But, you know, we know the motor and the drive ain't necessarily there. So, but, yeah, the Lakers are playing well. You said whatever. The Lakers are making more.
Or early on the Pacers and Pistons game, 3 minutes into the game, Rick Carlisle's already called two timeouts. Pistons up 10-2.
Uh-oh. You know the Pistons.
Why can the Pacers never start a game? They haven't done it all year.
Man.
They just don't give a shit early? They want to get in the flow? Nah. Or what is it?
Who's the I don't have the stats in front of me right now. I pulled my computer, man. But I'm telling you, it's all on Tyrese Halliburton, man. He's the leader of the team. Man, I'm saying them walls are shrinking in on him.
You ready to trade, man?
No, it's just something that you, you know what I'm saying, you just have to go through it. You just have to go through it, man. And you also have to know that everything, the media, they ain't got to know everything, bro. It's okay if they don't know anything.
Yeah, except for us, right? They need to tell us. Except for us. NFL, John, diving into the NFL, had some videos go out. Steelers have made some moves, man. They've made some moves last week. They make some noise. Quarterback room got completely changed. Their number one, first string, second string, and third string quarterbacks from last year are no longer on the team. Omar Khan has, signed Russell Wilson. Got a one-year deal, $1.something million, 33 is on the hook with the Broncos. Then he goes out on Friday, out of nowhere. Bam, trades Kenny Pickett to the Eagles. Kenny's soft ass, not happy that they signed Russ and he was going to be the starter. So Kenny says, I want a fresh start. Get me out of here. All right, fine. We'll trade you to the Eagles. We're going to get zero playing time. And the Eagles got a nice draft pick out of that too that they used. And then out of nowhere, the next day, Saturday, Omar Khan again. Bam, Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick that can become a fourth. So you got Russ, Wilson, and Justin Fields now in that Pittsburgh quarterback room. And the Steelers aren't done yet. They're trying to make a move for wide receiver, either Brandon Ayuk or Justin Jefferson is the latest.
Yeah, because Minnesota is going to be dealing because they're trying to get more picks to essentially move up in the draft, and they need a little help. Even though they have two first-rounders, they still need a little help to move up to where they want to go because they want to pick a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that happens, though, Brandon. I could see the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe not making that happen and then going after their own wideout with their own draft pick. You know what I'm saying?
Washington's who I like.
Yeah, but that's kind of amazing how they went from essentially a team that got called out. What week was it when Mike – Tomlin called them out, said they was having a hard time scoring 22 points. It might have been 17. You know what I mean? So I look at it like that, and we know there was a style clash, a personality clash between what was happening between the coaching staff that was brought in with the Denver Broncos and what Russ was kind of told to, you know, that he could get away with. Ownership, that's the one thing, man. Ownership just gets real quiet and don't say a word, right? Russ was allowed to be a diva because the ownership said, okay, yeah, Russ, you want your own office? Sure. Russ, you want your own whatever? Sure. And it's not, you know, you go in these other places, man, Tom Brady got his own XYZ elemental P, but, you know, that's Tom Brady. And, you know, so that's a little bit different. So, man, the fresh start for Russ doesn't cost the Pittsburgh Steelers a whole lot. Fresh start for Justin Fields, it cost him a six-round draft. Again, it didn't really cost him a whole lot. It might have some quarterback controversy if, you know what I'm saying, once all the, you know what I'm saying, the tape comes out and maybe if Justin is pushing Russ and then, you know, by week six or week seven, if the team is like 4-3 or you know what I'm saying, 3-4, you know what I'm saying,
right,
the fandom and, you know what I'm saying, conventional wisdom might say, hey, why don't you put Justin Fields out there? But, you know, until that is, until you can really see that Russ can't cook anymore, I hate saying that anyway, that Russ or can't play the position anymore, you know, you got a great quality backup. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, we all know Justin Fields can play.
They're fine with it because it's not costing them anything.
Right. We all know Justin Fields can play. It's just the style of how the Chicago Bears didn't want to play with Justin Fields. Justin Fields might, I'll be honest with you, Justin Fields might hold the ball a little bit too long as a, for a quarterback, you know what I'm saying? But again, like we really don't know that science for that because his left and right tackles for the time and tenure was there, they never got on the same page. So I think with, you know what I'm saying, fresh start for Justin Fields as well, man. If he I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a couple games. You know what I'm saying, 3 or 4 games. But I, like I said, Brandon, you have to have in a 17 game season, you got to have 2 starting quarterbacks, somebody that can, you know what I'm saying, 2 starting type quarterbacks if you're going to, you know what I'm saying, get to the playoffs and, you know, some potential win Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, on the looking at the Colts locally here. They re-signed their own, John, and all except for one right now.
Well, Blackman, yeah.
John, they haven't improved their team. And wasn't that what Ballard said that this was going to be, was they're going to go out? John, they haven't signed any free agents. Again, we're dealing with this again, another offseason of the Colts not spending cap on getting other players in here, getting veteran quarterbacks or something in here, and have not improved your team on a team that missed the playoffs and a quarterback that cannot stay healthy. You signed a 44-year-old quarterback, basically, as a backup to mentor a guy that can't stay healthy. You have done nothing to improve this squad. And a lot of people say they're upset, they're underwhelmed. The Colts are doing what Colts do and don't spend money. They do not improve the team, but they'll raise ticket prices. And Chris Ballard should be front and center for this disaster.
Well, yeah, right, because they have $25 million in cap space, and we haven't heard anything about that money being spent other than, you know, since the one
back.
Thing. But sounds like Julian Blackman's not going to be an Indianapolis coach, right?
Uh-oh.
That's what it sounds like.
But would you rather get a draft pick on that or sign a veteran free agent? Because I would probably go the veteran free agent route. You don't need to go draft another corner who's not proven. Throw him out. You got Dallas Flowers, who's shown life.
Man, that's what he's gonna do. But then you're gonna piss off the people that want you to draft a wide out or a tight end, because they know that needs improvement as well. So I don't know. Coach sound like they're being a little fiscally challenging and watching dollars again. And with that add, have you last in the division?
They are. I mean, if you look at the rosters and the movements and things that happened, the Colts, I'd almost damn near put them at last. I would. Last in the division. I know that's going to piss off
a lot of folks expect the Texans to kind of take off next year. And though there's still some heavy criticism for the homie Sunshine down in the Jaguar, I still think he's good. I just think, you know what I'm saying, health-wise, like, dude, you got to, you know what I'm saying, it's not easy. You know what I'm saying? He's not playing 12 games. He's not playing, you know what I'm saying, 14, 16 games. He's playing the full 17, and like, that's different than what Peyton Manning or Tom Brady had to ever play. They never played 17. You know what I'm saying? They might have played 17 in a season. I'm talking about regular season, so.
Right. There's no good wideouts out there. You have Hunter Renfrow, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham, Michael Gallup, who just signed with somebody, Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Russell Cage, DJ Chark, Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman, Jakeem Grant, Josh Reynolds, Randall Cobb. Like, you pissed the bed. You've wasted. If you're going to get a wide receiver, can Chris Ballard seriously look in the mirror and say, hey, Alex Pierce had a great season? No, absolutely not. I think I think Downs had a great season when he's healthy.
Right.
But Josh Downs isn't going to be your number two. He's not a true number two. in my opinion, either is Alec Pierce, really. But the fact you didn't go out and get anybody, and that's the talent pool that's left. Tight ends, I'm looking out here now, 39-year-old Mercedes Lewis, 32-year-old Logan Thomas, C.J. Ozma, 31, like Jimmy Graham, 38. Like, these are the guys that are out there. I mean, ugh. Shout out Brandon Dillon, went to my high school.
Again, maybe, well, he waited, so maybe he's thinking younger. He's going to go young, full young youth movement in the draft, which means it's going to be a learning curve for this coach team going into the season, which means it's going to be not a whole lot of wins.
Yeah. So I don't know, but if you get to say, hey, Brandon, give me a grade on the Colts offseason, I'm going to give it a D. D plus.
Come on, man. We got to get to the draft first, bro.
Right now? Oh, yeah, I'll give you
a full grade.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'll go halfway because you did sign your own, so you didn't let a lot of that walk. So I'll give you a C minus. Now show me what you're going to do in the draft. Now, do you think they're going to go out? I know you're going to start your draft analyst stuff after the after
he's not picking Brock Bowers.
They're not going to go.
He's not picking Brock Bowers. That's who I mean. If Brock Bowers is there when they pick, that's what it make a tight end.
Who do you want
him
to take? If you're him, who do you take right now?
He's probably gonna take a quarterback. The kid from I think there's another kid slot in there. It's pretty darn good from LSU. He might fall in between. What are called picking it? 15 or 12. Yeah. 12, 15. So there's a cornerback from LSU that might probably slide between 12 and 15. He's
Draft
pretty good. He's younger.
Right. DraftKings right now has the Colts to make the playoffs minus 200 for no. So overwhelming favor for them not to make the playoffs. Steelers, John, I'm surprised. I'm going to put some money on this. Steelers are at plus 260 to make the playoffs. They think they're really not going to make it, which is crazy to me. I think they have a good chance to make it. I know I said crown them, but, I mean, we'll at least – at least AFC Championship game against Patty Mahomes. I mean,
right.
So other than that, let's see what else we got. What team have you felt like another team, John, that's kind of crapped the bed? I thought this offseason was the Miami Dolphins.
Well, one, they got financial problems. Well, no, they got financial – they met San Francisco have financial problems where they got to basically kind of cut some of those C-level, D-level guys so that they can get underneath the salary cap. But, you know what I'm saying, as far as him, like, making big splash moves, I can see that. I was going to – if you say who's been unimpressive, I would say the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets ain't got nothing. The Jets really believe Aaron Rodgers? This is what they running. This is what they're running with. They've already alienated their young quarterback who was number two overall. You know what I mean? They've already alienated and run him out the door. They didn't. Sam Darnold resigned with the Minnesota Vikings. So like, who's playing quarterback? Who's playing for the New York Jets?
Aaron Rodgers.
Gonna be a hot mess. That's gonna be a hot mess. He's running for president.
Well, I mean, he's not gonna be if he's gonna keep throwing out Sandy Hook. The conspiracy theories.
Man, I was like, dude, come on. Brandon, come on, man.
I don't get it.
I don't want to get it. Aaron Rodgers, like they just retire. That's what I say. Just retire. You don't get it. But like he said, okay, so he questioned Sandy Hook, but like there's other mass shootings that happened. You questioning them too, or just this one? That's
all
crazy, man. He'll never come on this show ever.
Never. You won't allow it. John, ESPN and the college football playoff have agreed to a $7.8 billion deal to run 2031-2032. All that money the ESPN was losing now, they signed that deal, so now they're making a little bit of cash from college football playoff, huh?
Brandon, how the hell is this going to happen, man? How the hell ESPN gets this money, college football, but the ACC, did you hear today, Clemson is suing the ACC? This is incredible. I mean, Florida.
What's the exit Clemson, rights?
How could Clemson sue the ACC? Like, listen, Brandon, how can Clemson, all right, Brandon, let's say Clemson is out of the ACC right now today and joins who? Let's say he joined the Big Ten. Who is Dabo? Who is he? Harbaugh ain't here right now. Okay? Yeah. So he might – but he's running Ryan Day out of the Big Ten?
No, that's Chip Kelly.
Well, right. But, like, no, man, Clemson, who are they going to join, the SEC?
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, you don't think the SEC would open arms and take them? Absolutely.
They would, but these other teams, Florida State, there's nobody really there now that Clemson joins the SEC, that's the difference. That's a game changer. And you might be able, technically, Brandon, they don't really need the Big Ten after that. As a playing partner, they would just need Ohio State. I don't really have high hopes I don't have high hopes for USC football to succeed in the Big Ten, nor do I have high hopes for UCLA basketball. We know how you said football ain't going to do jack squat in the Big Ten, but UCLA basketball, it might struggle. I'm being honest with you, Brandon. These people forecast, I got my own forecast. Like, you can see where guys is going to go and where NIL is going to go, where the money's going to go. UCLA and USC, I get it, USC is like in Hollywood, but, like, football is not Hollywood. And it remains to be seen what Michigan is going to look like in the post-Harbaugh era. And it remains to be seen. Our homie in Penn State, he might have hopefully found a quarterback that can play and can score some points, because that's what's holding Penn State back. Right? But, like, these teams –
He was a big quarter piece. I said, what about the SEC without Nick Saban? Because he was a huge quarter piece of that SEC conference.
But see, here's the thing, though, Brandon. They got a mouthpiece. They got that fool-ass Commissioner Conkey. Ain't that his name?
Thank you.
He likes to de-state us anyway, man. This fool, like, he don't care nothing about nobody else's conference outside of the SEC and how
they
get how much.
If you're a conference commissioner, you shouldn't.
You should care about the game and before you care about the – I know it's kind of crazy, Brandon. You should care about the game and where it's at before you care about the money that you make off the game. If everybody knows we're going to make $1 billion, and he knows he's going to make $1 billion, and the kids is going to make $1 million, and the school's going to make $1 million, you should care about the sanctity of the game. It's a red flag, Brandon. Jay Wright is gone. Coach K is gone. Nick Saban is gone. That's college basketball and football. They would still be around. You know what I mean? That's a red flag, because they seem to – hey, man, the networks are saying that they – we thought it was the kids being empowered. I think it might be some of that, Brandon, but I think it's that the TV people is basically telling the kids and NIL, like the coaching, that, like, this brand, that don't mean nothing. And it's messing up with some of, like, the things that we kind of like about the purity of the tournament or man, Brandon, I don't even know. I know you like it somewhat, but, like, this college football playoff.
Love it.
They even ain't they well,
love
man, you love it. You love it, but they talking about doing 14 teams.
That's fine. Fuck it, let's go 16.
Man, you know they
what
don't
else
need
do we have
16.
Going on in January? What else we have
you
going
know
on?
They don't need no Brandy, they don't need no 16 teams.
Why not?
Liberty. God bless Liberty. God bless Norfolk
I'm
State.
Sure
they're not going to be able to beat them.
NCAA tournament, they said, hey, you know what? We good at 32 teams. We don't need any more. We don't need more teams. Then they put it to 64. And they said, oh, we will go 68. Oh, my God, we don't need no 68. 68, no. Everybody's good with 68. They love the first four, except for last night's Virginia game. My God. It's like watching
Brandon, what
are
you talking about? You don't even call, Brandon, I know you ain't talking about 68 teams. You don't even call IU's win over a Wyoming, they win.
Who?
When IU beat Wyoming.
Oh, I totally forgot their program. Sorry.
Right, so don't be preaching about no 68 teams, bro. That's not. Don't be talking about expansion. The other, okay, they expanded from 32 to 64. What power? When's the mid major? They ain't won yet. Duke was a Cinderella, but they turned the ACC and themselves into a Power Five. Outside of that, you go to the list of champions. It's all Power Five schools. Every now and then you get a Weber State in the Final Four. Every now and then you get a San Diego State in the Final Four. It's all Power Five schools. Man, you trying to sell something. You can't sell no water to no well. Please, man. It's always going to be a Kentucky up there. It's always going to be a Duke up there that wins the championship.
You're too old school, man. You're too old school. Because you didn't even want to play to begin with.
All right, let me ask you this, Brandon. Since I'm too old school, so when Indiana State goes through the NIT, whether they win or lose, and then maybe coach stays, all those players are still going to get – I'm not old school. Things are changing, but they're not necessarily changing for the better because all those players going to leave, just like they left Ball State, just like they left wherever else, and then guess what? That shit didn't work out for them. IU got Peyton Sparks. He's transferring again.
Yep.
So, like, there's a little thing that's the old school. We kind of know what we're talking about. When you forecast certain things, and you see what's going on in the NBA and how it's immature with its young talent, and you see what's going on in the college ranks where Clemson is begging to get to the daggone, and the Virginia, who's undeserving, is begging to get to the tournament. Man, please, the old school. I guess they should probably listen to me right now.
You better be selling it. You better start selling, do some selling your theories for that. But it's. John, I just think, I think 68 teams is enough. I don't think the 80, something that they're talking about going to, is really needed. Like you said, it's definitely about the cash and about the money for it. But also, it's...
The only thing that's going to ever change is when a team like Notre Dame, a blue blood football, says, we're going to come down and play a home-and-home with Ball State in Muncie. That's when the economics change. Until then, the tournament, that money, that's not going to change. Like, put all the 72 mid-majors, put some more up in there. There may be some of them win. They're not going to necessarily get to the Sweet 16. It'll be a great story. It'll be a great banner for them. But, like, eventually they don't have enough talent on their team to beat that Power Five consistently. Again, now you're putting this – and you know what I'm talking about. But – if they change when they play, I'm telling you, if they change when they play, but they never will. Indiana State lost to Alabama, and they lost to Michigan State. Alabama, Michigan State will never play them. They will never come to the state of Indiana and Terre Haute to play them ever.
Why would they?
Because you know why? Why wouldn't I? I gave you run off. Hold on. Alabama is selling their – Alabama got a what seed because of why? Because they played Indiana State, who was a champion. Don't play me, Brandon. You got to think about it.
Alabama got a four seed, and their net is high.
Okay, their net is high. They played a basketball champion. That's what it looks like. They also had a terrible one loss record in the SEC, but because they played a champion, that's how they get in. That's how everybody gets in, because they schedule somebody decent. But guess what? They won't never travel nowhere decent. They won't never travel to Indiana State, never. They won't never, because if they lose, oh, man, it looks bad for us. And that's whack, dude. That's whack. That ain't competition. Now, you go run and play Duke, right? I get it, because if you lose against them, well, we were dogfighting. No, you wasn't. Nuh-uh. No, you wasn't dogfighting. He's the highest-paid coach right now. And I know I'm talking about next year, too, right? But, like, nah, man, Alabama – No, man, that system's still out of whack. But it ain't gonna get fixed by putting more teams in the end. It'll get fixed when you tell a Power Five teams, take your ass on the road, take your ass up North Alabama, take your ass up somewhere else that ain't comfortable. And until then, I don't want to hear it. You can put 135 teams into the tournament, and it's still the Power Five is gonna come out on top.
Beat them by 22. Come on now. They stomped them. They had a good record overall, 21-11. They were 13-5 in the conference. So I know their quad ones look terrible, 4-10, but
I know. Who are you telling?
But their net put them at 9, which is the part that gives them the 4 seed. So I think it's a matter of if you trust the net or not, or what should we change the formula, because I think the net gets it right 80% of the time, I would say. And then the rest, it doesn't. I'm looking just down Michigan State. I don't know. I don't think they should have been in. Another
but
team.
Teams like Michigan State use the fact that they play a Power 5 every week, whether it's Minnesota, Iowa, you know what I'm saying, Maryland. They're all considered Power 5, whether they're meddling or terrible or whatever.
What about Gonzaga? 3-6, quad 1, and they were the 24-7, 17th in the net. And they went 3-6 with quad one games. Some would say they wouldn't deserve to get in.
But he got in because of the brand. Brandon, we got.
Well, that's what we're doing now, brands.
Brandon, if IU had a beat instead of losing to Nebraska, instead of losing to Nebraska and winning, they would have got in.
No, they wouldn't.
On the brand.
They wouldn't have.
How did Virginia get in? They won a Final Four in the last 6 years. They got in on brand. They didn't get on because they can score. They didn't get in on because they got in on what?
Stupidity from the committee.
Nah, man. Nah. Don't, Brandon. Look at the science. You know what they got in. They got in on because of their brand. They got in on because they're an ACC team. They got in on because they won a championship the last 6 years, and they don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Because Bennett still got like a little bit of juice in these streets, in these coaching streets. I'm telling you.
I mean, Carolina's won a title recently, and they didn't get in a couple years ago. So, I mean, they've left teams out before. It's not the first time.
Was that a transitional year? Did they have a coach? They did. That was a terrible – no, they didn't want to go. The guys didn't want to go.
What's your thoughts on the NIT, man? What's your thoughts on the NIT, all these teams saying, nah, we don't want to go. We don't want to play. IU is one of them.
So there was a vote, right, with IU, and I'm assuming with some of these other teams. Like, man, with NIL, Brandon becomes free agency. What they call it? Like, not a sniper. Free agency. There's no loyalty, right? Like, they don't make them sign. I don't want to say make them, but they don't have here. Man, here's your agreement for 2 years, because we all know this level of basketball still needs some development. They're pros in the making. They ain't necessarily pros. Just, you know what I'm saying? There's no way. You would play in Baco? 120. I mean, I know he just, you know what I'm saying? Or somebody's like, come on, man. Where is probably going to go to the NBA? But, like, man, the NBA overpays for potential. College basketball can't overpay for potential. College basketball players are like, here, man, here is your NIL deal, whatever. We want you to go to school. Remember, you also playing for IU, Duke, whoever you know what I'm saying, you signed up to play for. But I think what happens is, man, when you have at the end of the season, you don't have connected. You really don't have a connected team, man. If you've got a bunch of free agents that came from, we got this kid from Duquesne,
Iona. Because the transfer portal is supposed to be more of like a topping, a seasoning, not the whole fucking main dish. Like, no, IU is trying to go out and do when they have to get 7 players.
Well, that's what they're going to have to do next year, because they don't have a freshman.
It's going to be worse.
This ain't the IU show, y'all, for us to be kind of like bagging on them. That was the last couple shows. But, like, man, they're going to have to get a bunch of NIL. And, like, what's that going to look like when y'all know IU guys, like, man, you want the IU guy there from the freshman year to the junior year before you're talking about going pro or NBA or whatever, man. But that's the culture. Unfortunately, that they kind of put themselves, you know what I'm saying, in behind IU has. And unfortunately, a lot of other programs.
Thank God that IU is going after a Cannon Carlisle from Stanford Cardinal for averaging 7 points a game and 2 rebounds. Thank God.
What about Max Marley from, you know what I'm saying, Dan Marley's son? He's transferring too.
He's got a wake-up call coming to him. But no, John, the transfer portal is, a team is supposed to use the transfer portal like toppings on a pizza, right?
Right.
It's not supposed to be the whole pizza. That's not
right.
You're building no consistency. You're not even building a program. You're, needless to say, you're buying a year. 1 year you're
right.
buying.
Right.
And
even think about Cal.
If he thinks
Cal,
this is
Cal, I'm sorry, Ben. Cal has you transfer guys, but it's not a bunch. He brings in more McDonald's All-Americans than he brings in transfer guys. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And however you think of crazy, you know what I'm saying, how that, if that might not work, that's what he does. I'm going to get this team to play together, not a bunch of dudes, because, like, transfer guys already technically might have bad, you know what I'm saying, they are, you know what I'm saying, bad habits. And that's why, because, you know what I'm saying, they didn't get along with their last coach. And it's supposed to get better over here. You know, I don't know, Brandon. I'm not for to answer your question. If you got a team, if you have a team and they're ready to play, then play the games. Play the NIT games. Play as long as you can play your college games. For, you know what I'm saying? That's what
Indiana
I think.
Indiana is trying to build a team off this transfer portal. And let me just name you some of these. They got 6 open scholarships right now. Half the damn team is open.
Right.
Let me read you some of these teams that they're looking at guys from.
Uh-oh.
Penn, Furman, Pepperdine, Canisius, Drexel, Mount St. Mary's, Oklahoma State. Stanford and Nebraska.
When you become an NI rater, does that say that you can't recruit?
Yes, 100%. Mike Woodson cannot recruit. John, there is a reason why, after they announced that this man was coming back for another season, that their 5-star recruit says, I'm out. It's not a coincidence. It's not. And I'm not trying
right.
to be hard on IU just because I'm a Purdue guy, but I'm trying to make sense of it for
the
state. It's the truth.
You got to tell the truth. Yeah.
They are doing everything opposite of what Purdue is doing. Purdue is building within their players, growing within their program, getting a transfer. They have some transfers come in, and they're sprinkling them on top like a Lance Jones to improve the program. They're not bringing them in to be the centerpiece and success.
I just thought it was amazing, man. They only had one. They said just one guy's coming in, and I'm not.
That's a
deep
failure.
Dive on
and if
he
Scott
Dolson can't play, but
IU
would the old IU, even Tom Crean, they were like, hey man, Lil and the other homie, y'all not getting y'all 5th year. We already got 2 guys coming in that's gonna be taking y'all place. Like, see y'all later. Y'all, here's y'all senior moment. And that's
how
what
does
it would have
school
been.
Like IU have 0 recruits?
I don't
Can somebody say. Answer that for me? How does that happen this day of age where there's not one kid you can give money to and say, hey, come to Indiana?
Of Indiana.
Right?
In that red.
What's going on? Am I the only one freaking out about this? Everybody else is just letting it go? Like,
dude, you
why is there no more fight? Why is there no arguments with this? Why is there no
Man, you
push towards this? Why? I'm not even an IU guy, and I'm pushing for it.
You tired of seeing them lopsided victories at West Lafayette. I get it, man.
I mean, I'm not mad. They want to keep Mike Woodson. Keep him 4 more years. Shit, well, Purdue will beat him every year at that point. But there has to be something. You cannot go into – if I'm an athletic director and I go, damn, we had only 1 recruit, and we had 5 open spots, and it's a 5-star – and then he quits the next day. Shit, maybe I should start considering my job now since I've already deemed that the head coach is staying.
Trey Galloway and Leo. That's good news, I guess.
I mean, the Indiana Lions out there could beat them by 30 at least.
Slow down, man. The homie from the Lions is going to call in. So.
Yeah, they're going to beat them by 30.
Uh-oh. What's that mean?
I don't get it. And there's not a lot of push. And this guy, for him, and I know we got on to IU, and that's fine because it's good for radio, right? But
right.
for this guy to get the way his technical that he did the other night and just walk off the floor all cowardly-like and say, yeah, I ain't going to be out here for this 30-some point loss, F it. That'd be you guys.
Yeah, Brian Evans went scorched earth on him, man.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see and to hear – different IU alumni, guys who played, because though they all might be on the negative side of the critical, it's all different. It's different.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I heard Tom Crean, it wasn't super negative as when Dawkins or when Brian Evans, but like Tom Crean was saying that comparatively, not saying he was, you know, compared himself to like one loss to Mike Woodson as a coach, you know what I'm saying? He was like, comparatively, like there were some things that I had to concern myself with that I didn't think I had to concern myself with. I thought I was there to coach basketball, and they were telling me about how many tickets we sold. I said, damn, I forgot about that. We become the head coach of basketball at IU, you are responsible for the butts in the seats, whether that the team is a 20, you know what I'm saying, 25-win team or a 5-win team, and we all know the struggles that Tom Crean went through, you know what I'm saying,
right,
with the recruiting violations and whatnot. So I'm not saying we should pour, you know what I'm saying, cry me a river. We can't cry, you know what I'm saying. Tom Crean didn't necessarily do everything perfect. But there's just different – there's a different level of expectations. I don't know if Mike Woodson, it's similar, like, I think he just wants to be a coach, but like there's other things that kind of come with that job.
Go back to the NBA.
It's probably where he's going, bro.
So I just looked at recruits for the 2025 season for IU and Purdue. John, I want you to guess, tell me, how many IU recruits are they shows prospects in the state of Indiana, would you guess?
I'm going to say three.
It's three. Can you guess how many for Purdue?
Purdue probably five.
You're right. It's five. How many of the recruits, the prospects, do you believe that I'm seeing on here are the same player for both schools?
That's a tough one. I don't know.
Three.
Okay.
Do I think, and I'm looking at some of these IU prospects, and there's a lot of blue bloods. Like, I also think maybe it's the type of player that Woodson's going out recruiting that he's swinging and missing at these guys that don't want to come to this campus. And it's not,
Brother,
you know.
Those three dudes that they brought up, so nothing against them. They're NBA guys, but they're not NBA guys right now. The G League told them that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? The G League told them, y'all not NBA guys right now. Go back to school. Now, does that mean you go back to the IU? Because the commitment of a level of an IU, like, they ain't playing this, like, put your foot in, put your foot out. This ain't the Twister. This ain't, you know what I'm saying, hokey pokey. You know what I'm saying? You with IU. Calvert Chaney. Mr. All-Time Big Ten leading scorer, he's with IU. Greg Graham, you go down the line. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even the homie Victor Oladipo, 3 years, you know what I'm saying, 2 years, Big Ten championships, you know what I'm saying, with Crean. You know, crazy fight. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily great statistically, but, like, out there hitting shots so that they can get to the Final Four. Not tiptoeing. You might have NBA-level time. You know all those dudes. They all scrimmage one another, Brandon. You know what I mean? You might have NBA-level talent. You might be having NBA, but, like, right now, the scouts told you, you still need to go and you need to go to college because, like, we wouldn't even put you on the G League Ignite. Nothing against wrong with that because, Brandon, sometimes I think some of them dudes, I think Jalen Green and some of those other guys probably should have stayed in school or should have went to school, right?
Right.
But that's where we at right now, man. Then I haven't heard – so we know the transfers are leaving IU, but I haven't heard anybody saying they're going to NBA just yet.
Yeah, I just
I don't know.
It's interesting, and we'll see. Looking at NCAA tournament, John, starting tomorrow. Right now, we've got Montana State, Grambling State playing for the right to play the Boilermakers on Friday. Kansas star McCullers is out for the tournament that Bill Self announced after he announced over last weekend that he would be. This team would be the healthiest it's ever been, probably lobbying to get a higher seed, and then afterwards saying, well, McCullers is out. We're shutting down.
Before we go on a, you know, I know the homie going to call it like 6 minutes or so, but listen, do you think that is the reason why? I want to go back to Purdue. Do you think the coach jockeying, the learning how to handle the media is what separates Painter from the coaches that have won it, man? Because when I was driving around, you know what I'm saying, And I listen, you know, saying getting gas or whatever. You listen to people's conversations, and they kind of, man, Painter's gonna win the championship, another Big Ten, but I don't know, man. They think they kind of question his culture, and like he like Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong. He's out there working the referees for Edie, but like I don't necessarily think he works the media for the other parts of his team, if that makes sense. You work the media. When you work the Brandon, when you work the media start talking about the refs. The refs start calling. He said Zach Edey gets, he said, dude, he gets fouled every time. He gets fouled more times than he goes to the line.
I heard the interview he had.
So if he campaign, what I'm saying, I'm not saying you go slimy like Bill Self. We know Bill Self is, come on, man. Kansas out there got money in ovens. They was, right. was giving kids their head. Here's your apartment. And then the kid show up in the apartment. He got a $300,000 in an oven. Come on, man. That's what Kansas is about. But I think, you know, this is the first year I really heard him kind of send messages out through the media when coaches from the past.
Well, he did a little bit last year on the Edie situation, but let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
I heard this on a radio show on Sirius XM the other day. Do you feel – so Matt Painter has been with the Boilermakers now for 19 years.
As a head coach, 19 years
as head coach of Purdue. 442 wins, 202 losses, 68% winning percentage, 64% winning percentage in the conference, 226 wins, 123 losses.
Mm-hmm.
The scrutiny that we've heard for Matt Painter from the public, from the media, from you even say the fan base, certain people in the fan base, did we hear that with Gene Cady? Because is Matt Painter unfairly getting a little bit of, because of the generation now, that's more short-term than kind of the long-term that we had previously with the Bob Knights, the Krzyzewskis, the Gene Cadys, the Boeheims, like that now there's not enough patience with coaches? Because Purdue can go and Purdue loses and they fire Matt Painter. It's a step back for this program to even try to go out and try to get our coach, which I think would be stupid for them to do. But people would bitch, but what the hell else is out there? You see what's out there. Look what's down in Bloomington. Look how much they've been struggling ever since. When have they had a coach that's lasted besides the one that they had? I will give them was Tom Crean. I thought Tom Crean was a good hire for IU. I really did. But look where they've been at since. It hasn't fit the puzzle. I feel like Painter at a point has gotten some unfair treatment from fans, from the media. If you compare his numbers, he's actually on pace to beat all of Gene Cady's stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to mute on. I'm sorry. No, man, I think he even passes Izzo for Big Ten championships, regular season or I mean, tournament is whatever, right? But
right.
Big Ten regular season, you know what I mean? So I don't necessarily throw out the Big Ten championships out the water. I get it. I know you didn't go score third. You got happy. You went happy Hogan and said, hey, man, that the Boilers, when you filled out your bracket, when we did the bracket show on Monday, that the Boilers is going to win the Final Four. I got the Boilers going to the Final Four. There really is no excuse. This is a good team. That bracket that they got them in is a very winnable bracket, right? You know what I'm saying? The hardest one is going to be Tennessee if Tennessee can get there. But I just don't know. I think Painter. I know Painter's a great coach. I just think Painter doesn't necessarily work the media as much as he probably should. You know, and I'm not saying they're working like Bill Self, but you know what I'm saying. Even Coach K worked the media and
he's,
the rest.
He's less than let's see. 100. He's 140 wins away from Gene Cady, and he's he's 6 years less than what Cady's done at Purdue. He's only two NCAA tournaments away from catching what Cady was at to begin with.
Right, minus the championship, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I just think, man, it's, you look what else is out there. There ain't nothing really out there, dude. You're not, Matt Painter's a guy.
I don't really believe Jay Wright. They wouldn't hire a Jay Wright to come in. You know what I mean? The family tree. The family tree is strong. The coaching family tree is still strong. You know what I mean?
Our man Martin, before anybody.
Who's that? Big Brantley?
Yeah, the assistant coach of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely, amen.
Then we'd be definitely into the program deep.
Right.
But, yeah, I just feel like Painter's kind of getting some adjust from people just because not NCAA tournament. I mean, how many successes did Gene Katie have, right?
Right.
So – six-time regular season champ, two-time tournament, 16 years in the NCAA tournaments. Record ain't good, but, I mean, Gene Katie, 18 years, 19 and 18 in the tournament for him. I mean.
It's almost like for Purdue, you would rather them lose the Maui Classic, lose the Crossroads Classic, right, but win the Final Four. Because that's kind of like what they do. They dominate the Maui Classic.
Sell it. I would trade it in. I would probably even trade a Big Ten championship in, maybe two.
That would get the quote unquote monkey off his back.
I honestly think a Final Four this year would get the monkey somewhat off the back.
So
because you have to produce, you have to play better than what the hell happened last year. So I think Purdue. Now here's the thing: fan base may not 100%. I would say 70%, 80% of the fan base would call it a successful season if Purdue made it to the Final Four. I think the Purdue program, if we ask Coach Brantley, if we ask Coach Painter, making it to the Final Four, they would kind of consider it a successful season, making it to the Final Four. Everybody wants to win it. They want them to win it. But I think there's that certain portion that says it's either win it or nothing, and I don't think that's 100% the case. I really don't.
Right.
Not that they're not going to play for it, but still, I think that we're there after that. So, give me one second here, John.
Because where's the fool ass that beat them last year with Fairleigh Dickinson? Tobin, what's his name? Tobin Jordan, Tobin Hutchinson.
Tobin, yeah.
Tobin Anderson. Yeah, he's nowhere. In Iowa,
here they went 16-17, barely under 500.
Yeah, God bless America. They didn't even get invited to the NIT with his big-ass head.
Damn. We got DeKalb on hold, so we're going to have to keep him there. DeKalb, we got a scheduled call here at 8 o'clock. So.
If Jordan ain't on hold, I know if he's already – let me define that. We can get DeKalb in.
Yeah, all right. DeKalb in. What's going on, DeKalb? Thanks for holding.
Hey, fellas, I know my time is quick, so I just chimed in listening to you all talk about obviously Indiana Purdue, and Brandon, I think I agree with you, man. I think the place where Woody would be his strength is in the NBA because he's swinging for the fences. Similar, to what if you remember what Mike Davis was doing back then, and I'm not putting him in the class of Mike Davis, but he's swinging for the fences and missing. And I think he's thinking, hey, I'm Woody, NBA, you know, very, very, very good NBA player. And I think these guys want to come. But my issue is I think guys are saying, oh, man, I'm not trying to go there because I want to be able to have my free reign. These young kids want to have their free reign. I think that's the issue that Woody has right now. That, you know, I see my guy CJ put his name in the portal. I wish him the best. I really do. And his best may not be in Indiana, but he's going to be successful wherever he goes. I'm assured of that. But we'll see what happens. Also, I know you guys are talking about the tournament. And I don't talk a lot about Purdue, but
– Yeah, you filled out a bracket on the Crossroads bracket, DeKalb?
What did you say, Brandon? I hear you.
Have you filled out a bracket for the Crossroads Challenge on ESPN? Because the dummy did it last year. If you remember, he got into it, but he didn't fill out his bracket, so he finished dead last.
Man, I've got to fill it out, man. You know, I've been busy with work and doing some different things. I haven't filled out one bracket yet. I'm going to do you all. I got a couple of buddies of mine that sent me links for theirs. I will definitely chime in and do that one for sure, without a doubt. But it's just, I just haven't been. Yes, sir.
Swing for the fences, man. Don't just put Alabama basketball in there, man, like you would do football. I'm not saying Alabama basketball ain't good, man. They can score a lot of points, but defense.
But you know, it's funny, JB, right? So, you know, we talk about, no one plays defense. I just think it's harder to play defense. I don't know that no one plays defense.
I will say it's not an NBA style defense that you'll see out of Kentucky, Alabama. Those coaches got a little bit more control, you know what I'm saying, in tune to their teams.
Right.
It's just that it's not as it should be. You know what I mean? Alabama and Kentucky got some dudes, dude, that'll be next level dude. I don't gauge what they do, what they're going to be, but as basketball players, like defensively, like, man, they should get every steal, every close out, every block out between those two teams. That doesn't necessarily happen with those. If we had a Sark on the sideline chewing up a towel, or we had a Patino, you know what I'm saying, coaching Alabama, man, it'd be a different animal.
Hey, what about, don't forget Nolan Richardson.
I forget, the man.
Hey, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so we got.
Whereas, like I said, Coach K got a team that can put up literally, y'all, 100 points in this tournament on anybody. He also got a team that got two guys that's going to be, you know what I'm saying, somebody's draft pick, you know what I mean, they're going to lose their mind, right? They can put up 34 points. But they also got guys that can become disengaged.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
Well, we'll see what happens Saturday. I've got some of my guys who are going to go watch a couple of games on Saturday and have a guy's lunch. But we'll see. Hopefully, it's some good stuff this first Saturday. Man. That's what I'm hoping for.
There's no superstar like Clayton Clark or, you know what I'm saying? Like, the ladies got all the stars. Like, they got names like Juju Watkins. But there's going to be some guys, like the Shannon Jr. kid. You know, I know he got some specials on him from Illinois. I know he got specials on him from off the court or whatever. But this dude's athletically a basketball player? Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, he's got to carry
Illinois to a 316.
He's got to get with the right coach, man. He's got to get with the right mindset. And that, to me, I think that's what it is at this level, right? You got guys, to your point, JB, you know, you got guys that are very, very talented. But what do you do with that? Look at my young man, Mikey. I forget his last name. The young man who had the arrest situation, he and his teammate, decided that they would transfer from Memphis and go, I think it was Central Florida. Was it Central Florida? It's so different now, right? These guys are saying, you know, I don't have to deal with that. I'm going to go elsewhere. Dealing with adversity is a real talent for these young men. Hey, look at my guy, T.H. Halliburton. He's in the media today crying about, they worried about me.
Listen,
I'm the most balanced, you know, fanatic there is. Halliburton needs to shut up and play. And I'm not talking about what that lady said about LeBron shoving dribble. I'm talking about, listen, man, no one wants to hear that stuff. You're hunting. He's out there hunting right now. He's not playing any defense. And on top of that, the other night I was at the New Jersey Nets game, he's not rebounding. He's 6'5", and he has no interest in going to get the ball. That drove me crazy the other night. We had me and Tornado were there multiple times.
He just got to remember. When the shot ain't falling, man, you ain't got to make the three pass, man. Yeah, when the shot ain't falling, you ain't got to make.
Listen, I kill Bob Knight, right? You know, some of the embarrassments that he's caused for the University of Indiana over those years when he was coaching. But he's always say this: a guy like him, he's not having you. You're my best player, but I'm not having you do the little thing. Ask Keith Smart in the national title game in 87. Sit down, Keith. You ready now? Go back in. So that's what I'm saying.
Right.
He's got to get that, man. And I just don't like the fact that he talked about how it's so unfair, the 65 game. This isn't a Tyrese Halliburton, you know, drill session, but unfair about the 65 game. The problem
yeah,
with these guys
I just think he's got to deal with the pressure, man. He's just dealing with the pressure being
the
leader of the team.
But listen, check this out. Why are we going to pay Pascal $40 million for this?
Right.
He can't feel that way, man. He's got to go out and hoop, man. And he's not doing that. He's looking for the refs. He's begging for calls, and he's hunting for shots. Do other things, man. And I understand that in the NBA, that doesn't sit well. Oh, just do the small things. But he's looking for all NBA. He's looking to get that extra money, and he's pressing. I'm telling you.
The Pacers need to get back into the fifth seed and get out of this
His issue is that all-NBA deal. He's talked about it ad nauseum, and I'm just tired of it, man. So he's got to say, listen, I'm just going to hoop. Just hoop, man, and see what happens. I was so disappointed that night against New Jersey. We're up 13 in the second quarter, and I left probably 4 minutes. 4 minutes in, this New Jersey for me. I left 4 minutes in because they just weren't playing well. And I messaged you guys, right? We can talk.
Yep.
We can talk. I know you all don't love my guy Isaiah. We got to stop people. Sometimes it's not your night. Sometimes it's not your night, and you got to try different things. And that night against New Jersey wasn't our night for our big men. It just wasn't. It was disappointing, but we'll see what happens on this 5-game road trip. We need to go 3-2 at worst.
Yeah, bet. Right.
Yeah.
Win them all.
I say we're surprised. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I just need two wins. Get my over on the wins. Just got to get two.
Man, it's tough, man. You know, being a Pacer fan, and you got to be objective, right? You can't be like those other team fans, the Laker fans, all just rose colored glasses. You got to be honest about it. Yeah, you got to sign Pascal Siakam. Yes, Ben being out is a little challenging, but that's not our difference. If you looked at that game against New Jersey, Ben not being there wasn't the difference. Our best player didn't play his best. That's what we need to happen. It's a 5-point game, man. We're 13 up in the second quarter. I don't want to hear this, oh, Ben is out. Oh, what a shame. No. Your best player has to play better. Your big guys got to play better around the rim. And that's the frustrating part for me as a Pacer fan, that we're not getting the best out of the players that we have.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying it's the coach because, I was killing Rick Carlisle in the beginning of the season. But I love what some of the things he's done. But, he talked a lot today about, well, we got to stop, worrying about this. And we got to – okay, let's see, Rick. Let's see what happens tonight against Detroit, the worst team in the league. What'd you say, Brandon?
They started out down 12-2. Now they've taken the lead at halftime, but still.
You know what I'm saying.
And quit shooting. If you're in that slump, pass the ball.
I had a buddy of mine in one of our chats. He says, well, he needs to look for his shot more. I'm not the basketball savant. I'm not. But come on, man. Anybody who says he needs to look for his shot more, is that because they're looking at he's our star, he's our best player. If your best player gets 11 rebounds and stop with the damn no-look passes every pass, enough. I understand you want to be all NBA. You want the additional $50 million. You're not going to get it. Like you're playing, you've got to play within the framework of the team wins, he wins. And I'm not saying that comes from a management's perspective, but if the team wins, he wins. I don't think he understands that.
No.
Did you see what he said today about, well, I'm just a pawn. I'm just a – what did he say? I'm just a parlay or a pawn for these fans.
Yeah,
all they care about is betting.
Yeah.
So what does he care about then? So what does he care about?
He better start caring about winning.
Yeah.
Winning coincides with all the money.
And here's the deal. I'll tell you this, right? These guys, they talked about, well, we don't like the 65-game deal. Do they realize and understand that they voted to approve it?
Right. Right.
I mean, listen, man, I love that.
You all thought of picking me and
his dad. Hey, his dad is cool as hell, by the way. His dad is so I mean, that dude seems like a really solid dude. So, but when you sit there talking about I'm just a pawn, I'm this, that's how you're playing. If you listen to what he says, watch how he plays.
Yeah.
His dad is supporting him, but his dad needs to put his foot in his ass. Because that's not what you do to get where you want to be. Yeah, I love your smile. You're talking, all this stuff, but you're only smiling when things are going good for you.
Right.
Look at his body language. When he gets that smile, call him.
Two games I know right in my mind. They should have beat Chicago, and you want to have that Cleveland game back that he just lost.
That's Chicago. Disgusting.
And that's the crazy part about it, right? They're understaffed. I'm just being on work wise. They're undermanned.
Did I lose you? No, you're good, JB.
I'm good.
I can't say they're understaffed, man. That Toppin dude needs to get out there and play, bro.
Get out there and play, man.
Aaron Nesmith had some clangers. I don't necessarily think Aaron Nesmith is the answer as shooting guard, but they had him out there shooting. I still
don't think he's 100% okay, right? But my guy, my favorite pacer, of course, TJ. But I'm gonna tell you this: If not for TJ McConnell, I could think of about five other games we lose.
Well, they've been letting Ben Shepherd. Sometimes it's okay to let Ben Shepherd sit out.
But here's the thing, right? But the thing is, when people game playing for TJ, it's a different game.
Yeah.
And New Jersey's not a really smart team. He had his way with them. I don't know if they watch film. They pay attention. Maybe he's a 6 foot, European guy that's not, he's not gonna dunk over us. He's not a three shooter, and they miss him.
Yeah, I play you.
That dude balls, man. So I love what he does. So
I'm hoping for more time, PT.
and you know what? That's over Nimhart. Nimhart has his moment. Well, Nimhart, he ain't
stepped up like he should have. Yeah.
Right. So I'm not saying bench him and don't play him, but I'll say this: TJ, the way he's been playing the last 10 games, I'm going to tell you this. Look at the sports rooms. Other teams' fans are talking about him. Talk about TJ. Man, that guy's good. But they don't understand the teams aren't game planning for him, and that's okay. But my issue is with our team, we look like we're having fun on the bench, but we need to have fun on the court by making things happen, right? And it's not happening right now. And it starts tonight. We're beating Detroit, the worst team in the league, and then you get some momentum going forward from there. Because I'm going to tell you this, Philadelphia is going to continue to lose, and Miami is going to continue to lose. And you heard it here. So they talked about Jimmy Butler day-to-day, the coach said day-to-day. There's something going on in Miami, something internal going on in Miami, and I hope it keeps going. So because they're behind us right now, I still think we can be a fifth or sixth seed. But we got to make sure we make the decision to play ball. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotta get the
so we'll see what happens, man. I'm looking forward to it. We got to get together, fellas. Last year, I know, Brandon, you and I did the casino thing. Well, not year before last, rather. But let's get together, man. We can do Hooters downtown or whatever.
It's hard to get JP out. He's got deadlines.
JP.
Don't put that on me.
JP, you need to email me your address. I'm coming to pick you up. Me and Todd Jr. are going to come pick you up. We're going to come pick you up. Hey, I got you, man. We're going to hang out. We have a good time. We got to do that, man. That'll be a good thing. And I'll even get that loser, that one guy that goes to Pacers games with me every now and then. I'll even get him out.
Sound like a plan. All
right, Deacon.
Sure.
Take care, guys.
Hey, appreciate you all. Love the show, man. Appreciate y'all. Be safe, fellas.
Yep. The vegan.
Last two things I had, John. Scott Drew is staying at Baylor. He was a top target for the Louisville job. He is going to stay. And I'll say the statement. You can give your take on it, and then after that we can wrap the show. Juwan Howard out at Michigan.
Just internally, man, he lost too much. Lost transfers, Hunter Dickinson. lost lottery picks, son, and the other kid who's kind of not getting any kind of playing time, and lost most importantly games this year. Michigan is not accustomed to not accustomed to losing, and you know they have talent, and they have they expected a lot more out of Juwan Howard. Some can say kind of point to the short term and the short hook, but like there's just some things everybody like you pull back the curtain, man. If you go back to him going after coaches on the sideline of other coaches, and now there was internally reported that that he went had a beef, an internal beef with a coach on his own staff. So just some internal problems all around that Michigan just going apart. He's always – and in his statement, he said he's a Michigan man, through and through, and is always going to support the university. But, the university expects winning, and that didn't happen. And this last year, they were last in the Big Ten. And that is not, what Michigan brand of basketball, where they want to be at. So they made a change. So, all right, well, I'm going to see Juwan. I'm going to see Juwan somewhere back in the pro ranks.
Yeah, I think so. Be sure to join the Crossroads Sports Bracket Challenge. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. Be sure to join it. You got less than, 16 hours. 16 hours till the game starts. Get your bracket in. John, I'm looking at you as well. Get your bracket in on there. Get it filled out so we can start the trash talking. I'm going to post our picks on Twitter and on Facebook tomorrow morning. That way nobody tries to steal anything tonight from us. I'll post my bracket as well. But I'm excited, John. March Madness, one of the exciting times here. I'll be excited and nervous at the same time, see how the Purdue Worldmakers, how they do, if they can make their way through. So looking forward to that. We've got NBA. NBA is approaching the playoffs, so we've got that coming down the pipeline. We've got Indy 500. We've got the Masters golf coming up in a few weeks. So a lot is going on, and it's coming down the pipeline quick. This is Episode 293, Season 7. Season 7, John. Didn't think we'd get to Season 7. If you asked me 7 years ago, would this be 7 years into it? I would not have thought that. But we're going to get bigger and better than ever. We're going to prove those guys wrong at the Butler. We're going to prove those guys wrong in Notre Dame. We're going to prove those guys wrong down at 125 South Pennsylvania. We're going to prove those guys wrong at the NCAA. And we're going to get there. So... But Season 7 started off with a bang tonight. John, it's exciting. I'm excited to have you along with the ride with me once again. And we're going to make it a great year.
Absolutely, man. Y'all listen to what Brandon Reed said. I stamp it 100%. Thank you, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Thank you, Mavericks Coast Motorsports, for being our sponsors. Crossroads Sports. We're going to be back here next week, try to do it bigger and better than ever. I know I said we've had a guest, man. Guess what? We're probably going to have three next week. So be tuned for that, man. I'm texting right now. He missed it. Jordan Heidelberg will be back next week. So outside of that, that's Brandon Reap. I'm Jonathan Bersall. Everybody, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.